Okay, if you'd like to turn to Psalms chapter 1, and if you'd like to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1, I consider that my place within the prayer center is a student. At best, I would say that I'm a C student, and that may be stretching the truth a little bit. I listen to, I hear, and I try to do everything that the teachers and within the body of Christ here says. I honor them all. They already know that. You need to know that. I'm amazed, continually amazed, at the faithfulness of the Holy Spirit as He uses mere men to bring forth the will of the Father and the mind of Christ, using the Holy Spirit as our tutor and our teacher. When Dave was called in off the road, actually wasn't called in so much as led by the Lord, and he says, and the Lord said, I want you to come in, and at least for the next season in your life, I have three things for you to do. I only have three things for you to do. I don't have eight, I don't have ten, I have three. And everything that you've done up till now, I'm pleased. Everything that you've done up to now, you've been found faithful. Of course, that's how love talks. If you hear anything but that type, it's not love talking. It's not your father talking. I have three things for you to do. He gave them to him, but not in order. And there is no order because they're all number ones. They're all on the same plane. One is, contend for revival. Second is, establish doctrine. And third is, family. So when that came forth, we all rejoiced. Number one, he was going to be here more, etc. But we did not realize at the time, and possibly still do not realize, that the enemy decided, instead of bringing one thing against you, he was going to bring three. And if you close your eyes, and we took the time for you to meditate through those three things, you will know that you've been under an attack above any attack that you've ever been under. Because you've been found worthy, incidentally. You're not a child. You're not someone that does not know the message. You've been found worthy to win, not lose, those three areas. But you have to admit, or hopefully you realize, that your family has never ever been under attack like it is now. Whether it's your immediate family or whether it's the family of the brothers and sisters right outside your immediate family, which is the prayer center. Okay. You've never been established by challenging your doctrine. You've never seen such an influx of false doctrine that is all around you, everywhere, anywhere, 24/7. And to contend for revival, there is absolutely no present day facts that we will ever, ever have revival. Let that sink in. there are no facts presently that says we will ever have revival. Every fact says Tulsa is not in revival, and certainly Jesus is not Lord over Tulsa. But you know, as well as I know, and possibly better than I know, that truth changes facts. And only truth changes facts. When was the last time that you seen in this church, the last time you seen an eye healed? When was the last time that you seen and absolutely could say that an ear was open? When was the last time that you ever seen or that you've seen teeth being filled with gold by God, or teeth and mouth straightening up? That is the enemy that we're right up against. And that is why Dave is in off the road contending for revival. That is the only thing that we're about, is contending for revival. So you might say, well, maybe Dave's backslidden. Or maybe Dave is no longer pressing towards the mark. Or maybe Dave, maybe Dave, maybe Dave, maybe Dave. And revival does not only rest on his shoulders. We are up against an enemy, and always have been, and always will be, that is probably unseen. But that's the three things that we're after. I believe the season has changed. I believe the best word to use is season. I believe the season changed on December 12th of 2010. You might want to write some things down. You might want to keep notes. On December 12th, is when I believe that the Lord chose to say the season is changing. The website has it, has all of the present day speakings that came forth on the 12th, etc. But it seemed like the Lord led us into, I'm now going to begin to talk about the new season. I'm going to begin to share with you my heart. I'm going to begin to share with you the heart of the Father. I'm going to begin to bring to you what is the mind of Christ in a more complete way for this season. That began December 12th. Okay. From the 12th through the end of the year, there was a progression, service after service after service, instructions. Okay. Then came January the 2nd. And Gary had the 8:30 service. And Gary gave a prophecy. I asked him about it later, and he said, I could not call this a prophecy, but I could call it the will of the Father and the mind of Christ, but I'm not so sure that he would have used the same words that I used. You all remember that? Didn't think so. I'm going to read it to you. this year, grow up. This year, grow up. A lot of that stuff you are blaming on the devil is your own dumb fault. We love you. Now we could say, that's God. You know, we love you. But the time for hand-holding, for giving you money while you refuse to hold a job, is over. The fast are going to go faster, and the slow are going to go somewhere else. Now that's, when I heard it, I was sitting over there where we normally sit. And Gary was standing up here, and he said, and the slow is going to go somewhere else. Now, that's not the first time that the Lord gave us the word in regards to the fast will go faster and the slow will go slower. He began saying it in, I believe, 2002, if I'm not mistaken. He also said at some time from there till now, he has said that you are no longer allowed to stop and pick up those that have fallen, the slow group. Okay. He said, if you continually stop and pick them up, you will not win your race. He did not cause a division in the body of Christ when he said that. Take a breath. Just take a breath. The Holy Spirit is closer to you than your next breath. That means that the Father's love is as close to you or closer to you than your next breath. Never, ever does it change. And he stays with the slow group. He stays with the slow group as much as he's able to stay with the fast group. There's no partiality. What he says to one, he says to all. And he's staying there. But he's asking you to go forward, to go forward, to go forward, to go forward. And not continually take on false responsibility. That the root of almost all false responsibility is human compassion, not godly compassion. And human compassion has the ability to be more deadly than poison. So he's asking us to go forward. Everyone in the sound of my voice, he's saying, go forward. Can I tell you that you're in the slow group? That would be probably the most foolish thing I ever would try to do. Because there is only one judge. And he knows every fight that you've won and every fight that you're going to win. And he's the only one that can look at your heart and say, come on, come on, come on. With that in mind, Gary's titled the message, don't let these things slip. And it was everything that was taught prior to that moment in time. And as if you listen to the message again, over and over again, he was saying, don't let what you already know slip. Don't let it slip. Don't let it slip. Renew the foundations that are in your life. Don't let anything slip that you've already heard. So let's go to Psalms 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, say delight, his excitement, his joy, his pleasure, his rush, his happiness, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. We have excellent teachings on that. If you've been part of the message of the prayer center, you've heard it many, many times. Meditation, imagery, delivery. Everyone that has had a mic in their hand at some time has taught that and shared that. Day and night, day and night, day and night, meditation. You could put there, his delight is in the word of the Lord. For the New Testament, his delight is in the Lord Jesus himself. And in the Lord Jesus himself, he meditates day and night, day and night. Let's go to Timothy. Timothy chapter 1, let's begin in verse 18. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightst war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith hath made shipwreck. I've shared about this before, time and time again. But that's the New Testament verse equivalent to Psalms 1. We've been taught that the Holy Spirit is our teacher. And beyond being our teacher, he is our tutor. We've had children, Leah and I, and we have had grandchildren. And we have had to hire tutors for both sets. And the reason that we hired them is not because they were failing, but that we wanted them to excel and go the extra mile to accomplish what the Lord had called them to accomplish. It's the same way in learning an instrument to play. You have a tutor, and that's who the Holy Spirit is. And here at the prayer center, we are fortunate to be able to have true prophecies that come forth for the prayer center and for all of those that will do the message, that are not doing it yet, have never even heard of it. But what he says to one, he's saying to all, for us to win the war. It's not a game. It's not playtime. It is something that you meditate on day and night, day and night, day and night, day and night. September the 6th, 2006, this word came forth at the prayer center. For those of you that like to know what vessel the Holy Spirit used to bring it forth, this particular one came forth from Gary Carpenter. Okay. Once again, see if this does not bear witness with the Psalms and Timothy. Once again, the time has come for those who will esteem my word more than they do their necessary food. They will no longer take my words lightly as entertainment, almost as something of small value. For I have not had you here all this time to separate myself from you now. I'm not going to allow a separation from you now. I'm going to tell you what I want you to hear so that the enemy cannot come and cause a separation between you and me. I'm not going to allow that to happen. I'm going to do my part, and I'm not going to allow that to happen. Please do your part. With my own arm, tonight, I gathered you unto myself, and I am rekindling an appetite in you, an appetite not only for my written word, but for the words that I speak to you, that they may become your very life, more precious than gold, more needful than your necessary food. Eat my word until it becomes a part of you, bone of your bone, flesh of your flesh, where it brings life to you like the marrow does the blood. Last sentence. With the measure that you give my word, that is exactly the same measure that you will see the results of my word, says the Lord. And I would ask the question, do you have a blueprint? What's a blueprint? Most of you know. A blueprint to me is every word that the Lord has given you, or every word that you've embraced as truth, that it went right into your spirit. Is it in a book? Are you able to read it? And are you able to quote it? Have you ever gotten what he has said to you in you? Or have you just heard it? Awfully quiet. Has it gotten in you? It's amazing that the Lord Jesus said that the truth was in him. If you go through the New Testament, you can always find the Lord Jesus saying, I am this. I am this. I am this. Very seldom. I didn't find a one. Some of you scholars may find one. That he says, I know this. The difference between knowing and being the I am is that it's in you. If I ask you if you knew if you were saved, you would boldly say, I am saved. No one, no demon in hell or wherever could say and convince you that you're not already saved. I'm saved. Can you say the same thing about being healed? Can you say the same thing about prosperity? Can you say the same thing about walking in his authority? Okay. Now I'm going to do a little exercise. I'm going to go through. Let me start this way. Can I see your hand if you would like more of him, if you'd like more of Jesus? Okay, Mark, check, see anybody that doesn't have their hand up. Okay. Do you want to see his glory? Do you want to hear his voice clearer? Part of the enemy's attack against the prayer center is to destroy the word as to what he has said about you individually. And as I read this one and others, I'm not going to read them all, it's easy for you to sit there and say, well, he can say that about Dave, or he can say that about Gary or whoever else, but he wouldn't be saying that about me. And that's exactly where you get one degree off. Let me read you. These are words that have come forth in just 2010. If you went back to 9 and 8 and 7, clear back to 89, he has never changed his mind. He has always said it over and over and over and over again. And I'm only going to read paragraphs out of them. Oh, yes, I am the more in life that many are longing for, looking for, and finding no way into. The depths in me and the avenues into my love are often not found because the reasoning of men have instructed not into the depths of who I am. Oh, there is a depth. Oh, there is abiding. Oh, there is a wisdom and understanding that is being sought after and reached into. I am so happy I am so happy. That's your father saying that. That's your brother saying that. That's your tutor saying that. A plus 100. I am so happy. I am so happy. I am so pleased that you want more of me, because I so want more of you. The enemy would say, he's not pleased. How many of you heard him? Whose voice is the loudest? Whose voice is the loudest? Without meditating on the words, you silence the voice that you should be hearing the loudest. And I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to me. Remember, I said I was just a student. I am somewhat concerned about your walk. I get the greatest joy I get. Well, one of the greatest joys I get is to watch the growth. But I don't want to fall behind either. Read you a couple more. I didn't read an article. I just seen a page in an article that said there are 7 billion people on the face of the earth today. 7 billion people. And you happen to be here. You should be happy. 7 billion people. Speaking of grace, my grace, have you sensed in your spirit an increase of being able to receive my grace? It has always been there, but this next level where I'm taking you, the path has been paved by a few. Say, I am part of the few. You really are. You really are a part of the few. Out of 7 billion. I wept. Did I weep? No. Yeah, okay. Leah's telling me I did weep. I wept when I seen that article. Because it had a map. And it showed the population explosion. It showed the number of people. And how many there was going to be in, I think, 2024. And the number that were going to hell. Period. Part of what we're called. Part of what you're called. It has always been there. But the next level where I'm taking you, the path has been paved by a few. Continue to seek and receive my grace. You have been told, I have mountains and mountains of grace stored up for you. Eradicate all thoughts that you could possibly use up even one of them. Do you remember the definition of grace that the Lord gave us? I have mountains and mountains of grace, but very few have opened their heart to receive it. And I will give you a new definition of grace. Grace is allowing me to do my will through you on the face of the earth. Every hope you have, every dream you have, every desire you have, every wish you have are mine inside of you. And I'm the one that's going to bring them to pass. And it requires you to be absolutely still and unmovable in your decision to wait upon me to bring it to pass. That's grace. I have mountains and mountains, or you've heard that I have mountains and mountains of grace stored up for you. Eradicate all thoughts that you could possibly use up even one of them. Listen to this. Pleased. Pleased. I am well pleased with you. Do you have a confession? All the confessions that you may have. Do you have a confession that you go around saying, he's well pleased with me. He's well pleased with me. Do any of you have one of them? Get one. And I'm not, you know, when I point my finger at you, I've got four pointing back to me. I need to get one. I need to get one. Pleased. Pleased. I am well pleased with you. Continue on this path. If you could see my eyes, they sparkle with delight and great anticipation with all that I am soon able to pour out upon this earth. Our youngest granddaughter is 18 months or, okay. Gary gets to talk about his, I can talk about mine. She absolutely loves iPhones. She absolutely likes to push the buttons to see if the light will come on. When I come into the house or into their home, she comes running to me looking for my iPhone. Because she knows that Bestapop, which they call me, is going to let her play with my iPhone. The sparkle that is in her eyes. If you think about anybody that's ever you seen the sparkle in their eyes, that's what he's saying about you. He's that pleased. He's that pleased. How many of you could quote, I won't ask for a show of hands. I would like for you to see if you could quote within your heart right now the seven, we'll call them attributes, or the seven steps within the message that's come to maturity that we teach here at the prayer center. The seven actions that you could do. Don't have to write them down. Okay. I'll give them to you. Meditation, which is study of the Word, which is thinking about the Word. Number two is confession, which is speaking the Word. Number three is praise and worship. Number four is waiting upon the Lord, actually becoming still and waiting on Him, renewing your strength, mounting up with eagles, etc. Okay. Fifth one is praying, all types of prayer, primarily praying in the Spirit. Sixth is fasting. And the seventh one is co-laboring with the Holy Spirit. The first six is preparation, work, or fellowship, more than work. It's really fellowship. For the seventh one, and that's co-laboring. It is imperative that every key I lead you into and every key you have learned is used. Every key. One's not more important than the other. The only one that is most important to you at this present moment is whatever the tutor has told you to make number one. Could be fasting because we're entering into that season. Okay? He's told me in part of my responsibility, He's told me, you be very careful. You have no idea where I'm planting, and you have no idea where I'm reaping. Be careful. Be careful that you do not try to reap where I'm planting, and that you do not try to plant where I'm reaping. The only way to know that in your own personal life and in what He's called you to do is found in these seven. Only the Holy Spirit is able to tell you where He's planting, so go plant. The Lord Jesus walked His entire life that way. I only do what I hear the Father tell me to do. You know. All right. It is imperative that every key I lead you into and every key you have learned is used. My word to you and the joy is it brings is your strength. Magnify my word and exalt me in every circumstance at all times. Take the words I speak to you and worship me. The word is truth. Take my word, you assimilate, and worship me. As you take the words I speak and as you take the word I point you to and worship me, I will open the eyes of your understanding to see me. And when you see me, you see you in me. Am I pleased? Am I pleased? Am I expectant? Am I more than pleased? I am more than expectant. You do not have the understanding yet for me to express the fullness of my delight in you. Now he's talking about you. He's talking about you. the foundation of our fellowship with me, the foundation of your fellowship with me that I have been building upon is very pleasing and beautiful to me. Oh, the joy. Oh, the joy I have at my son's settling into this place of peace and truth in me. I am yours, you are mine, and there is nothing I have not provided for you. I am your peace. I am always with you. I am well pleased at the truth I'm able now to bring to you. The one who has me has everything. As a father to my family, I'm about to give you a key. For each one who picks up this key, it will be your staff of victory. Take each word I speak to you as if it is said only to you. That's taking ownership. That's putting it in an abiding place inside of your soul. Your spirit already has it. That's where it came from. But it is transforming your soul, okay, to the word. Mike, as we talk about, when he is renewed, and any part of him that is renewed is a good friend. The Lord restoreth our soul. Takes a lot longer than the born-again spirit, but he is in the job of restoring your soul and removing all the wounds and all the hurts and all the defilement and making you whole. Take each word I speak to you as if it is said only to you. If you think of it for someone else and not you, you've already erred, and an adjustment must be made in your inward truth. Each word I speak to you that I do not speak specifically to another, it is as if it is spoken to you only. This key is my delight to give to you. I speak these things not to disappoint, but in joy that these words can be spoken to you. You are receivers of my truth, and there are many things I have yet to say as you hear and as you embrace this key of hearing my words as my life to you. You will be ready for the things I am preparing you for that I will say to you. Great is my delight in you, and great is my joy that I may come now and say these things to you. My words are life to you, and abiding in my word is discipleship. A year ago is when he said, begin to make disciples. My words are life to you, and abiding in my word is discipleship in you. As you follow these instructions I give you, more instructions can come. I will speak to you as a family, and I will speak to you as sons. Great is my joy this day. I don't have time to read the rest, but all of these are out on the website. You're already familiar with that. Avail yourself of what's already been set on the table and eat it. There is no place that I can find in any message that's been taught at the prayer center over the last year. I could go back farther. No message that's ever been taught at the prayer center. No word that has come forth no scripture that has been read, that there has been one word of rebuke. Not a single word of rebuke or of disapproval or of anger. It all comes from the enemy. There has been an encouragement outside of being pleased over and over and over again. He has said one thing: be strong. Be strong. Just be strong. There is no strength outside of Him. There is no strength outside of receiving His grace to be strong. So just be strong. Just receive my grace. Just receive my grace to be strong. Since the first of the year, when the season began to change, there is two words that I've highlighted in the messages that have come forth and also in the words that have come forth. If you go back through the messages from the prayer center, you almost never find these two words. Boy, the first word is persecution. He has begun to let us know that we've entered into a season that there will be and can be persecution that comes against us. Not a pleasant word. Not a pleasant word. Except there is absolutely no persecution whatsoever that can come against us that Jesus has not already won the victory over. And if you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and those of you that are students of the Word, almost all, if not all, persecution came from the spirit of religion inside the church of that day. Almost all. You didn't find a sinner persecuting the Lord Jesus except the path to the cross. And that was driven by the spirit of religion. That was driven by the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The other word that he's used very seldom in the past, but he has used it now, I would call it close to a level of frequency, and it probably is going to be used more because the Holy Spirit is sent to show us things to come. And that word is judgment. The Lord Jesus is not ashamed to allow you to know that He is bringing judgment. And it always starts at the household of the Lord. He has said many times that that type of judgment is coming to win and to save those that are going to be judged by that so He can spend eternity with them. It is not any kind of false judgment. It is pure. It's purely Him, and it starts at the household of the Lord. I have 5 more minutes. I'm going to take them, and maybe more. I mentioned Gary's. I got these off the website so that you know where to go get them. I mentioned Gary's message, don't let these things slip. I will mention another one. Really, I have two lists to go over, so let me go over this one, then I'll go over the next one. The other message on January the 5th by Mark that's saying, rescuing your mind. If you weren't here that Wednesday night, I believe it was Wednesday night, it could have been 8:30 Sunday morning. It was a message, the whole message, the whole service was delivered in a spirit of intercession. Lee and I came in, it was a Wednesday night, wasn't it, honey? Lee and I came in Wednesday night, and we tried to get here a little bit early to get a little more quiet. And Stacy had praise and worship that evening. And she began to sing, I Surrender All. And I thought, what in the world is going on? That's not a praise song. That's a worship song. What's happening, you know? And she went on, and she went on, and she went on. And knowing that she operates in a prophetic praise and worship voice, I entered in, I raised my hands, I surrendered all, and I needed to, incidentally. And it just, and then the next verse, or the next song, I'm not sure what it was, but I'm saying, Lord, this is really unique. And then Mark comes up and delivers a message about recovering your mind. And he was saying it from a heart of intercession. I mean, he could have just as easy said, I'd like to wash all of your feet. Would you let me, and let me tell you about this, about recovering your mind and going back and getting the treasures and become, you know, all that the Lord wants you to. Recover what's been said. Recover, recover, recover what's been said. And so we did, and we, after the service, I was still saying, you know, you know that the Holy Spirit loves you to ask him questions? You know he's got an answer to every question you've never asked? And you know that he'd like to give you the answer? You know, I was never one in a classroom that would be the first to raise my hand and ask a question. But when I'm with him, I have both hands up all the time asking questions. Because he never refuses me, and he never embarrasses me, and he never says I'm slow. Why do you have to ask this question? How dumb can you be? Did you ever do your homework? Didn't you read the book? I never get that from him. Son, let me tell you this, and let me tell you that, and I'd like to share this with you, because I'm your helper. I really enjoy answering questions. So I was asking him, what was this all about? Why did it take on? He said, I have an agenda. I have a plan. And all of the worship tonight was to prepare the hearts to receive the message. And those that were unable to enter in had a much more difficult time receiving the message. Because I did not have an opportunity to prepare their hearts. And that is a new order of services to come. It was amazing. Amazing. The next one was, give yourself to the Lord. That was 10 days later. On January the 12th. And Gary had the service, and he had a sheet of paper somewhat like this. And he said that prior to coming to the service, just before, well, let me tell it a different way. No, I'll tell it this way. Just before coming to the service, he seen this list of messages, and that the Holy Spirit had yellow highlighted the messages, or highlighted them. And it was 2 pages. And there was 11 of them that he had highlighted. 11 of 2009, 2010. 11 of them. And I thought, how many of us are going to go after those 11? Because the Holy Spirit said we needed them to win in the near future. I don't know about you, but I had very few teachers going to school and college, very few, that was interested in me enough, loved me enough, cared for me enough. I had one teacher when I went to IBM school to learn computers. I had one teacher that way. But what the Holy Spirit did that night with that list of 11 is he said, I'm going to give you the answers to all of the questions that are on the test for you to walk in victory. And you could get a 100, A plus 100. If you know the answer to those 11 questions. The list of what Gary said, I believe is back in, I'm sure it's back there in the bookstore. They're all out on Gary's website. They soon will be out on our website. I would highly recommend, if you want to get 100, that I would listen to those and get those messages in you. Okay? See you in 25 minutes. Love you.